Nobody tells stories about sunny days when the weather was perfect and the wind was just right. Not good stories, anyway. And the stories we love, the skies grow dark, the waves leap high, the sharks circle. We're never quite sure how the hero will survive. So why is it that when the dark days come our way, we worry that the story has gone wrong? Why do we declare that God is good when the sun shines, and then resist him just when we need him most? If he's already written our perfect, endless ending, is the writer trustworthy to get the middle right, to surprise us with his love one more time? Faith begins when we can't imagine what the next chapter holds.
I love how that always ends. You know, faith begins when we can't imagine what the next chapter holds. You know, we've spent the last 4 weeks talking about our story. And for a lot of us, especially over the last couple of years, our story has taken some dips, some turns, some twists that we didn't anticipate. Sometimes we can get overwhelmed by that, and we can feel like we're not getting to where our story is going to be where we want it to be. And that's why in week one, we talked about the fact that our story is a part of God's bigger story. That what God is doing in the world, he's taking each of our individual stories and he's weaving it together to proclaim his story. That his desire is for mankind to come to him. His desire is that men would know him, that they would call upon his name, and that they would follow him. And then in week two, we talked about the fact that your story is more than today. There are sometimes some seasons in our life when our story gets so overwhelming, we feel like, that's all it is. Usually it's when our kids are between the ages of 2 and 5. But we think, that's all it is. This is it. This is over with. This is where I am. And we have to take that big picture perspective and realize that this is just a day in our story. It's not the entirety of our story. It's just a part of our story. And that if God's bigger story is working in and through us, then it may be a great story that we can tell later on. And then last week we talked about the fact that your story has power. Your story, what you've gone through, your struggles, your victories, your failures, your mistakes, your things that you did right, the things that you were not quite so right on, that when you share that story with others, it has redemptive potential. It has the power to encourage, to inspire, to uplift, to let other people know that they're not alone. But it also is powerful for us because it challenges us to remain humble, to remember that, hey, we haven't had it all together. Maybe you're like, that's never happened. I've never thought that. But the reality is it shows us that God's grace is still available and abundant to us. And then today, we're going to wrap it up with my story isn't over. Sometimes, have you ever felt like everything was over with? Like maybe you got an email followed by a text followed by a phone call, and it was just like this tyranny of the tragedy, right, that began to fall upon you, and you're like, it's over with, I'm done, I'm over, and you feel like it's over. The reality is that there are some people that's how they feel like all the time, and maybe that's you. Maybe you are constantly struggling and believing that life for you is just this existence. It's not really living. It's just an existence. The problem is that's not what God teaches. And if you know Jesus Christ, then the reality is you've got to embrace this idea that your life isn't over, that you've got a lot of life left to live. Sometimes we think it's over because of our age or because of failures or because of mistakes or because of disease or because of other things. And so we kind of throw our hands up and go, I'll just kind of coast the rest of the way. Do you realize that they've done studies upon studies and people that actually retire and then don't do anything with their retirement, they're not active, they're not engaged, they're not doing anything, they just kind of like, they live to maybe golf, you know, a couple times a week. that their death quotient, I don't know if that's the right phrase, but we'll say that, it exceeds dramatically, like their life expectancy drops significantly because they're not living for anything other than just stuff, just to kind of do things here and there. And so literally, if you stop living on the outside or on the inside, the inverse is also true. You stop living on the outside or you stop living on the inside. But what's so powerful is one of my favorite passages, and if you've been at Friendship for any length of time, you've heard me either reference it or actually use it, is found in the book of John. It's chapter 10, verse 10. It's Jesus Christ, and he's talking, and I want to share this verse with you because this really challenges each and every one of us. If you know Jesus Christ, you've got to absolutely, with every ounce of your being, fight this idea that your life is over or that you're just existing. And if you have kind of got into that rut that you just wake up, you go through your day, and then you go to bed, you've got to snap out of that. And I say snap out of it if it's like, come on, just, you know, make a change. No, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. You're probably going to have to change how you think and maybe even how you act and the actions that you do, maybe even how you eat. I don't know. But you're going to have to make some changes to get out of that rut because God did not save you so that you could exist until you die. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. So the thief here that he's referring to is Satan, the devil. It's not some ethereal idea. It's literally an individual whose name is Lucifer, who rejected God, took a third of the angels, and now his goal in life is to make your life miserable. His desire is to do everything he can to make it to where you feel like life is no longer worth living. To make it feel as if you just need to make it through the day today so that you can go to sleep and you can then get up the next morning and then go to work and then go to sleep and then go to work. And that's not living. That's existing. Jesus Christ says the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. Now, I want to tell you this. The reason I'm emphasizing this is because so often we forget this. We think, wow, why is life difficult? Why is life hard? The Bible says that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is the prince and the power of the air. He is in control of this world. So when we say this world, that's what we're talking about. So why should you be surprised when you read this verse that his purpose, his idea, his reason for existence at this point in time is to make your life miserable when you wake up and things don't go the way you want to? You're like, oh, I just don't understand. Because you have an enemy who is so powerful, and his desire is to steal your joy, to kill your hope, and to destroy your purpose. And he is working against you. You're like, wow, Dave, I'm so encouraged and uplifted this morning. But I think it's important to know that, because Jesus Christ then says, but my purpose is to give them what? You're like, rah, 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 rah. My purpose is what? What does he say? A rich and satisfying life. I want you to ask yourself, do you right now believe that you are living a rich and satisfying life? And if you're not, it's not God's fault. A lot of people love to blame God. Well, God did this and God did this. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ says his purpose was to come and give everyone who accepts Jesus Christ, everyone who's a follower of Jesus Christ, a rich. By the way, that word rich does not mean like bling, bling, money, money. No, it means rich as in depth of life, the enjoyment of life, a generosity of life, a joy in life, a rich and deeply satisfying life, meaning fulfillment of purpose and fulfillment of joy and relationships and all those things. Jesus Christ says, my purpose, I came to give you a rich and deeply satisfying life. So if you're not there, then there are some changes you need to make so that you can receive the rich and satisfying life that God says he came to give you. And I'll tell you, I believe the biggest problem is that far too many of us, and I include us in this, at times believe the lies that Satan tells, believes the lies that the world tells, adopts the message that the world, that Satan through the world is communicating. You're not pretty enough. You're not strong enough. You're not tall enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not wise enough. Your past is filled and littered with problems. God will never be able to use you. You really don't have a purpose, even though the Bible says that. You're one of those people that God just couldn't give a purpose because you are so messed up. Your past is absolutely littered with all the problems that God, you know, he loves you, but he just can't get over it. You're just too far gone. God may love you, but he can never truly use you. And we reiterate these things and these lies because Satan's goal is to steal and to kill and destroy. And what happens is the longer we listen to these things, the longer we allow them to come into our heart and into our mind, we begin to stop living the rich and satisfying life that God has called us to, and we begin existing. We become like the zombies on The Walking Dead, right? We're alive, but we aren't living. We're meandering through life, feeling as if we have no purpose, just looking for that next little hit for whatever it may be. And so we substitute the rich and satisfying life for cheap and easy thrills in the hopes that we feel a little alive on the inside. I went through several ideas for the big idea today, and I want to share a couple of them with you because it may resonate with you better than the one I actually chose, but I want to share a couple of them with you. Some of them are, so this is what it says, if you're still breathing, then God's still working. I thought, oh, that's a good one, right? If you're still breathing, God's still working. But I thought, you know, it kind of falls short because it's focused really on God. And we know that God is always at work. The book of Romans tells us that he is always at work, even taking the things that are difficult and hard for us and turning them around for his glory and for our benefit. And I thought, well, how about this? What if you've got a pulse, then God has a purpose? I really like that one, you know, pulse and purpose. I felt that. And then I'm like, well, it falls short. It's like still God, right? God has a purpose for you. We know the Bible says that, Jeremiah says that, Ephesians says that, Colossians and 1 Corinthians, it all says God has a purpose and a plan, an idea for your life. And then I came across this and I thought, this is it. And you may go, no, that wasn't it. So you keep trying, okay? But for me, this is it. Don't stop living until you're dead. Don't stop living until you're dead. You're like, that's a little morbid. But the thing is it's talking about you. Because remember, God's purpose, and God always fulfills his purpose, right? So you're like, hi, baby, I don't know. God always fulfills his purpose, right? So if God's purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life, and you are not yet at that point where you're enjoying a rich and satisfying life, then it's not God that has somehow made a wrong detour. It's us. So we've got to get our lives back underneath the flow or the pattern of his blessing so that we can receive the rich and satisfying life. Now again, remember, the whole point of my story and the whole point of this series is that just because you might have a difficult time does not mean that's not a divine time. You may be going through a very difficult season of your life. It doesn't mean that's not something that God has orchestrated to develop and equip you to receive what he actually has for you long term. So you don't misunderstand me saying that if you're having trouble, then that means you're not in God's will. Because the reality is that Jesus Christ said, in this world you will have trouble. Because the world is run by Satan, and Satan is the thief, and the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? You see how that works? It's really, I know, you're like, wow, that's so profound. It's very simple. And when we can actually remember that, it allows us to navigate life a whole lot better. So, don't stop living until you're dead. And here are three very simple things. They're simple, but they're difficult to do. That if you're kind of at that point, you need to start doing. And the first one is this. Trust God's purpose more than my own plan. Trust God's purpose more than my own plan. Sometimes we get in the rut because we believe that our plan is what God is actually intending for us. And the reality is that God's purpose is bigger than your plan. And how many of you are planners? You like love planning. Planners? Okay, good. So speaking right to you right now, because literally planning, you love it. Like, this is the way it's supposed to happen. And then those of you that are uber planners, like me, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this, but if this happens, then I have option A, B, and C. And it's like, okay, then this is what we're going to do, because you know that no plan survives first contact. So you're like, okay, so this is A, B, and C, and then if A happens, to me, it's like when I was a kid, they had these like choose your adventure books, right? It's like, okay, three options. That's my strategy, my planning. I love that, because like, oh, do this, do that. And there are some times when life happens and your plan doesn't work the way that you want to, and A, B, and C aren't an option, and God's going, no, I don't have a letter for it. I just want you to do this. You're like, I just don't know, God. That's not my plan. And God's like, I know, because your plan is messed up. But my purpose will always survive and always prevail. Look at this, Ephesians. We're going to say in the book of Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church. He's talking about individuals and the church as a whole together to display his wisdom. He wants the world through you, through us, to see God's awesomeness. So for God's awesomeness, his redemption, his rescue, his restoring, his forgiveness to be seen, then there has to be moments in time where we need to be rescued. I know that you're like, wow, that actually makes sense. There are moments in time where we need redemption. There are moments in time where we feel like it's all over with and God sweeps in at the last moment, or sometimes past what we believe is the last moment, and God restores, because God wants to use you and your story week number one, your story is a part of God's bigger story. And so that's what he's saying here. Now, he goes on, he says, in its rich variety, to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. It all fits together. That's what God's trying to do. So, if we get so attached to our plan, we literally can get to the point where our plan supersedes the purpose of God, and we are more set in accomplishing our plan then we are discovering God's purpose, and we get outside God's will really easy. So the first thing is, you've got to trust God's purpose for you more than you do your own plan. The second thing is, you've got to be bold and confident, not timid and unsure. You've got to be bold and confident, not timid and unsure. There was a kid early on in ministry, he's a little guy, he's like 5 years old, and he was absolutely confident that he was going to be an NBA basketball star. Now, his dad was 5'3", his mom was 5'0", and he was the tiniest kid you've ever seen in your life. But he was absolutely confident that he would be the greatest basketball player that the world had ever seen. And if you like would play a little bit with him, his confidence was, I mean, he was bold. He was like, I'm gonna dunk all over him. Like, you can't touch 5 feet. You're not gonna dunk all over anybody. But he was bold, he was confident. Don't you love it when you see little kids like that? They just have this energy and this enthusiasm. They're like, I can do it. You know, I've got it. I'm going to do it. And they're like, got this bold and tenacious attitude. That's what God wants us to have. But I want you to see this, because I love what Paul says next. He says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come how? Boldly. We can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. The Bible says, because when you accept Jesus Christ, you become a child of God, you become a joint heir, or a brother, if you will, or a sister to Jesus Christ. And so because of that, you can go boldly into the presence of God. And then I want you to see what he says next. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, but you should feel honored. He goes, listen, you can go boldly into the presence of God. And I know sometimes we get overwhelmed with trials and different things, and sometimes we can get timid and we can get afraid, but I want you to understand that even the things I'm going through right now, I'm going through so that you can see God working in me. So don't feel bad about that. Instead, embrace that and go boldly before the throne of God. Do you realize you can go to the master of the universe, not like He-Man, but like the master of the universe, the one that created it, the one that said, let there be light, and boom, there was light, the one that holds all things together. And as a child of the King, you can bow your head and you can say, dear God, this is what's going on. I need your help. You can go, God, I believe you're calling me to do this. Show me what the next step is. Instead of timidly wondering whether or not we should take that step, we as followers of Jesus Christ should become some of the most bold, ostentatious, not irritating and arrogant, because it's not about us. It's about Christ working in and through us. Because God wants to do amazing things through your story and through your life. So be bold. Confident. Trust God's plan, God's purpose over your plan. And the third one, pray for the power and the resources to finish strong. Several years ago, I read a book, and it was one of the most powerful, impactful books on me, but not really for the entirety of the book, but for a section of the book, in which it went through so many of the Old Testament and New Testament people, and it walked through how God gave them a dream, and then at some point in their life, that dream died. It was over with. Like there was no way to accomplish it. One of my favorites is Abraham. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a mighty nation. And Abraham was 90 years old at this point in time, at 99 years of age, 100 years of age old. He still had not had a kid. He's like, a mighty nation. You talk about a miracle. That's a miracle. I haven't had a kid yet. His wife was 90. Ladies, you're like, oh, don't. You're like, having a child at 20 is one thing. At 90? Talk about osteoporosis. Okay, so they tried to figure out how to accomplish God's purpose through their plan, and they messed it all up. And at that point in time, the dream that God gave him was dead, but then God stepped in, and he restored the dream. And they gave birth to a son named Isaac. I believe that there are a lot of people who believed God put a dream in their heart, and they watched that dream die, and that was the end. The reality is that's part of the process. That's part of your story. That's what God is doing in and through you. And so if at this point you're like, I know exactly what you're talking about, I know the feeling that you have, and it just feels as if you've been carved out like a Halloween pumpkin. Paul says, Ephesians chapter 3, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. When you get to that point where you're not sure you're going to be able to even finish, much less finish strong, you fall to your knees and you pray to the Father. I love this. He says, the creator of everything, both in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. There is nothing that God cannot do. There is nothing that God cannot do. God says to that which is dead, come back to life. God said to the dream which is no longer there, be restored. God says to the broken, be repaired. There is nothing. I feel like I could say this for the rest of my time just to try to get it communicated. But there is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing. We serve the God of the universe that holds all things together, that spoke light into being, and we have the privilege to boldly go before him and say, God, through your unlimited, glorious, unbelievable resources, give me what I need to finish your purpose in my life. There's nothing that God cannot do. Paul finishes with one of my other favorite passages of Scripture. I'm going to read verses 17 through 20 for you, and I want you to hear it almost like a prayer over you, because Paul, literally, as he's wrapping up this section, is praying this over his friends in Ephesus while he's in prison. And he prays these words, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love, and it will keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ and know it is too great for us to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Whew. It's just like, wow. That's like a tattoo, right? And it's like, I probably need to gain some more weight to get that all on there, but that's like a tattoo, right? And it's like, wow. That's wow. That is such an inspiring, encouraging thing to remember that we should never give up, because we have a God who says our story isn't over. If you're still alive, God still can use you. And God still wants to use you. Our first several years of ministry, we're at a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And just up the road from where we were in Grand Rapids was a church called Calvary Church. And while we were there, they called a guy whose name is Ed Dobson. You've probably never heard of him unless you're kind of in the church world. Ed loved God, and he was passionate about attempting to reach unchurched, de-churched people for Jesus Christ. And a lot of the churches in the area weren't big fans of his, but God used him in a mighty way to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people for Jesus Christ during his time as the pastor of Calvary Church in Grand Rapids. And one of the things that they would do every year, which literally had tens of thousands of people that would come to it, is they did a Christmas festival. And they had this massive choir and all these different things that they would do. And it was just, live animals. It was just kind of crazy, off the charts, especially back in the 90s. And in the year 2000, just a handful of days before their Christmas festival, Ed got word from his doctor that he had been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS. If you're not familiar with what that is, you can look it up. But essentially, when you are diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, it is a death sentence that takes your body very, very quickly. It degrades you from the inside out. Although your brain continues to work, your body stops functioning. And literally how you die in the end is you can no longer have enough strength to take a breath. You suffocate to death, essentially. Usually it takes about 18 months to 36 months to work its course. And so after this diagnosis, Ed was struggling as to whether or not he even wanted to go to the Christmas festival. You can imagine getting that type of word His daughter hadn't even gotten married yet, and the doctor told him he had between 2 and 3 years to live. But Ed recorded his story, and so I want to share with you this morning Ed's story. Guys.
I didn't want to show up at the festival. And my wife said, you have to go. So I got in my truck. I was driving and my phone rang and it was Billy. Billy has more stuff wrong with him than most people I've ever met. For over 20 years, he was addicted to heroin. He's HIV positive. He has hepatitis B. He's been through cancer, but he's still alive. We talked, and I was telling him all that was going on. And he has kind of a high-pitched New York accent. He said, hey, you need to be a Yogi Berra Christian. And I'm thinking, what? I had no clue. No clue what he was talking about. He's a tad off the wall, to say the least. So I asked him, what do you mean? He said, it ain't over till it's over. Billy has the worst of the worst. His wife died in his arms. His son, he has never found to this day. And in spite of all of that, he's hopeful. Every human being knows they're going to die. The difference is I feel it with every twitch in my muscles. I feel it in the depths of my being. And I realized that I was really dying because I had given up. I had considered my life as over, but it wasn't. The doctors gave me 2 to 5 years. That was over 10 years ago.
Doing well. Good to see you.
Thanks for being here.
If I'd given up and laid down to die, I would have missed walking my daughter down the aisle. I would have missed the birth of all 5 grandchildren. I would say Billy's phone call was God speaking to me with a New York accent. Billy, of all people, should have considered his life over. And he was saying, it ain't over till it's over.
Good to see you.
And I realized there is profound truth in that. I can't do the New York accent like him.
That's fine.
I didn't expect another Christmas, and now I've had 10. And the more I have, the more I want. I have my life to share, my own story to share. One day it will be over, but it's not about how long I have left. It's about how I spend the time I do have.
It's not about how much time I have left. It's about how I spend the time I do have. Oh, I love that. Ed Dobson passed away in 2015, 15 years after the doctors told him he had a couple of years to live. He died on December 26th because he wanted one more Christmas. It's a powerful story. And the reality is that his story is something that could have been completely different. But because of how he navigated it, because of how he shared it, because of how he realized that his story was a part of the bigger story, and the fact that today is just one day in the many days of his story, now his story has power that encourages us over 5 years after he's passed away. I love how Ed was willing to share his story, and I believe that it will continue to encourage people. It's actually on Right Now Media. It's 5 or 6 weeks of him talking about never giving up. I encourage you to look it up. But I'd also like to challenge you to share your story, to share just how God is working and has been working in your life, to share it with a friend, share it with a coworker, share it with a neighbor. If you're bold enough, share it with us. We'd actually like to start getting many of your stories and capturing them on video, just like Ed's story, so that it can be encouraging to other people as well. You don't have to have some tragic disease. You can just go, man, this is the struggle I've had through life, and this is what I've gone through. And if you'd like to share your story to be able to have it captured so that we can share it with others, you can just use your Connect card and put your name on there and say, hey, I'd like to share my story. Or you can email us at welcome@experiencefriendship.com. But maybe you aren't quite ready to share your story, and I totally get that. The wounds are still fresh. The pain is still radiating. The mistakes are still unraveling. So as we wrap up this series, let me encourage you with this. No matter what has happened, no matter what is happening, don't stop living. God has an incredible purpose for you, so be bold and confident. Rely on God's power and His resources to finish strong. And don't stop living until you're dead. And then, let's enjoy God together forever. Father, we thank you so much. We are so absolutely blessed that you would tell us not only how to live through our story, but that God, you would take our story and you would meld it into yours. God, we're humbled that you would give us a purpose, that you would call us out for something more than just existing. That God, your very purpose that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, was to literally come and give everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ not just salvation someday, but a rich and satisfying and deeply purposeful life today in this moment. God, don't let us just exist. Don't let us just walk through life from one thing to the next. Don't allow us to take something that is cheap and easy as a quick substitute for the purpose that you have for us. God, even in the times that are difficult, even when we feel broken, even when we feel overwhelmed, allow us to continue to look to your Son, Jesus Christ, and go, you promised. You said you have a rich and satisfying life for me, and I claim that promise, and I want to live in that promise, and I fall to my knees, and I ask for you to give me the strength to walk the rest of my life in pursuit of your purpose so that my story will be one worth telling. God, we thank you for that. And as we respond, God, just let this song be our anthem. Let it be something that we proclaim, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever we've gone through, that whatever we're going through, your purpose still stands. That we will embrace it and we will pursue it and we won't let the thief steal or kill or destroy, because our story isn't over. God, I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.